Public Safety of the Joint Ways and Means Committee meeting, February 12th, 1:30 p.m., room H174.
Public Safety Subcommittee of Ways and Means to order. Open the public hearing on House Bill 2472. Liz, did you want to?
I just wanted to state that the
Say your name.
Sierra Club. I have handed you testimony. I will not bother to read it because it's substantively what I said yesterday. It is from our Columbia Gorge coordinator who expected to be here today as part of invited testimony. There was some confusion as to when public testimony was to be accepted. So I would like it to be presented for the record.
Certainly, I appreciate that. Any questions of Liz? Okay. Thank you very much. Anybody else want to take an opportunity to testify on 2472? Close the public hearing. House Bill 2472, open a work session on House Bill 2472. Jack, we had some technical amendments.
Yes, I brought those amendments to Legislative Council regarding the PERS language, and I believe the bill, as amended by the Energy and Environment Committee, refers to similar coverage by the state of Washington. I believe the subcommittee preferred to be more specific in addressing that and say that the retirement systems under state laws of Washington, to avoid any confusion, Section 5 is what I'm referring to. Says the Columbia River Gorge Commission, established under Section 1 of this Act, may designate its employees as employees of and the Commission as an employer subject to the Oregon Public Employees Retirement System under ORS 273003 to 237315, or as employees under a similar retirement system provided by the state of Washington. The subcommittee discussed changing that to under a retirement system provided by the laws of the state of Washington. Also, Section 5, Subsection 2, the Commission may designate its employees as employees eligible under benefit plans provided under ORS 243105 to 243205 or 243230 to 243300, or benefit plans provided by the laws of the state of Washington, is what the subcommittee had discussed.
The chair moves those amendments. The purpose of the amendments is to prevent any possible litigation that could occur from the word. Objections to that motion? Adopted. Chair would move House Bill 2472 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any objections to that motion? President Jones.
No objections. Chairman, to discuss the figures again.
Well, that's it next. That's the budget bill. Well, this is just the substantive bill that was briefly visiting us. Objections? Hearing none, the motion carries. Open a work session on House Bill
5065.
Senator Drinstad, did you wish the courtesy of making some comments?
Chairman, I just want to sit here and give my support for some of my comments.
Greetings.
I don't believe I have any state specific.
Well, I appreciate your being here, and we may actually need you.
He's opening himself up for questions, is he?
I think at a later date.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to invite Bob Montgomery, Administrator for Hood River County, to come forward. Welcome, Bob. Congratulations on your new position.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Bob Montgomery, County Administrator for Hood River County. I'll be very brief in our presentation and be happy to answer any questions you might have. Hood River County and the state of Oregon and the federal government are working together in a partnership to try to implement this Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Act, and for the next 2.5 or 3 years, we're all going to be quite busy with barely 2 months past, Hood River County has around 20 scenic area files already piled up. Eight of them are building permits, and we must coordinate each and every one of those with the Forest Service, which does take some time on our staff. Unfortunately, we haven't kept track of all the phone calls and the public inquiries that have been coming into the courthouse. There are many in the past 2 months, and as the pace quickens, I know we'll be busier and busier trying to keep up with those. However, we do feel this is the responsibility of the county government, and in the future, we should finance this ourselves. But right now, there's just more to do than we can keep up with financially. We'll have to update our land use plan to be consistent with the Scenic Act. Now, I know this will be 3 years down the road, but we need to start the process as soon as we can. The interim guidelines from the Forest Service are to be out this May, so that's not very far away. That's what we've been told by them, and they've been very cooperative. Mr. Art DuPaul, I must say, is one heck of a good human being to work with. Different things we need to do, just so you can understand some of the little things that are coming up daily. The City of Cascade Locks urban growth boundary has kind of a zigzag through it. When they were drawing the map in Washington, D.C., they ran a straight line through it. It's small in detail, but we still have to have public hearings. We know we can't change the federal legislation. It would be just easier to draw a straight line and change our urban growth boundary line. It's little issues like that that have been coming up that we realize are going to take us a little bit of time and money in addition to what we normally have to do with the short staff anyhow. We're trying to be very conservative in any credit requests we come before you, because we know you're having all kinds of people coming forward for all kinds of different things, and the session's still got three or four more months to go. We've sat down and figured out what it cost us about three-quarter time person, including secretary and all. That's about $23,000 a year for our county, our $46,000 a biennium that we feel we will need, and that's the next 2.5 years. After that, I feel our county would be in a position that we should be able to handle anything that comes up. I feel that would be our responsibility, and I don't think we need to come to running to the state for money on those conditions. I have talked to Wasco County. They can't be here today, and I understand they feel their yearly request, just to give you an idea of where they're coming from, is around $37,000 a year. They have a little more population than Hood River County. I don't know how they arrived at the number, but that's the number they did come up with. As I said earlier, there will be other costs to the county. We feel we should absorb some of it, because this is seriously a partnership between all of us. Forest Service had an open house a couple weeks ago in Hood River. Over 250 people attended. There is an awful lot of interest in our county. I find an awful lot of support. There was some painful times getting this legislation in place, but once it's over, the community is behind it 100%. I thank you for the opportunity to present our fact or our request, and any questions you have, I'd be happy to answer, Chairman.
Bob, for Hood River County, how firm are your estimates? How much do you absolutely know you have to spend, or how much are you guessing?
Mr. Chairman, quite honestly, we sat down, and it's a crystal ball figure. We had to guess on the past. The bill's been in effect just barely 2.5 months. Based on what we've had to do in the 2.5 months, this is what we feel we would need.
This is based on experience, though.
Yes, just the past 2.5 months, since November 17th or 27th, I can't remember the date.
A lot of applications are made that are affected by scenic areas that are set aside. People calling, asking questions, that sort of thing.
That thing, and as I mentioned, we have 8 building permits for our county in 2 months. That's, and this things are pretty slow right now, so we assume we'll pick up.
Questions of the committee? Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'd like to invite Lorna Stickle from Multnomah County to testify. I'd like to ask you specifically what kinds of costs the county either is incurring as a result of the federal legislation or anticipates down the line.
Thanks very much for the opportunity. I'm the planning director with Multnomah County. We currently are expending about the equivalent of one planning position.
Currently?
Currently. and that's what we anticipate it probably will be. Now, our estimate is higher, as you can see, than either of the other two. Part of that is to reflect the fact that, number one, we pay our planners more. I mean, it's just a simple fact of life. You get around a metropolitan area and pay salaries or more. So that is based on our actual costs involved. And the other factor is that we have a fairly large amount of private land within the Columbia Gorge National Scenic Area, including some small unincorporated towns. And we have a fair amount of activity that goes on in those areas. And then I've outlined the tasks as I see them over the next couple of years. And the amount of county involvement, I think, frankly, will be based on two things. One is how much involvement the commission's own staff will have in doing some of these direct analysis work. And secondly, how much involvement the county itself, each county, wants to have in the process. Multnomah County has already indicated in its goals statement for the county as a whole that we want to be a really key participant in this process. We will devote this amount of money probably anyway that you see here, and actually more than that. If you throw in time that planning director spends and other staff members spend on the counter and everything else on a yearly basis, it's probably going to be more than this would indicate, at least in these first couple of years. The interim period is the hardest time because the rules of the game are very new, and there'll be planning going on and development reviews under current county statutes and ordinances. So,
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Jones, then Senator Green.
Did I understand you to say that you're going to do this anyway? I guess I'd rephrase that and say, you have this money now. It's $48,000.
Well, it's we are right in the middle of our budget process right now. Oh, we're on a July fiscal year, and I have included some funds in there that would include doing planning.
I guess will you, regardless of whether you get part of the money or the money from this commission fund that we're talking about, you will do some of this anyway?
I think we'll have to if we want to make sure that our views are taken into account.
Well, I think that's the reason for my question. I'm concerned. I'd like to see the counties participate in this. They're the ones going to have to live with it for the next.
We'll have to implement the ordinances. That's right.
So I would hate to see them have to split up money to do this out of their own when it's more or less the duplication of what may be done.
One thing I didn't quite finish about is that even though I could say that we will probably devote this amount of money, that means that this is coming from somewhere else. In other words, we're on a baseline type of basis where we're not getting increased funds from the year before, and we are still an urban county that's faced a substantially reduced staff limit. And so,
well, Senator Hinn and then Senator Weiners.
Yes. How much of the area within the Columbia Gorge scenic area is going to be in Multnomah County? Do you have the boundaries? Just
roughly?
Approximate.
Probably about
acreage?
28-30%.
Okay.
On the Oregon side.
And is that already planned?
There is a plan. Oh, yeah.
Does Multnomah County have a plan that's been submitted to LCDC?
Yes.
So you're not going to be reinventing the wheel.
The Act and our current plan are out of sync in a lot of places.
Okay, now that was a concern that is expressed by Sierra Club. How much out of sync? That some of the LCDC goals and guidelines changed. Now you're saying it's out of sync.
Mm-hmm. Primarily in the area where the Act has some very specific definitions of what a major development action is.
You mean the federal law allows development, whereas LCDC does not?
No, it's the other way around. It's the other way around. Federal law is more restrictive than we are in many instances.
So a lot of the land that Multnomah County has planned for future development going to lose that under the federal controls that are going to be placed upon this area?
There will be some reductions in opportunities for the development that currently could occur under our comprehensive plan, yes.
Okay. Do you have an estimated time frame that you're looking at as compared to bringing Multnomah County's plan maybe up to date or up to sync with what the federal guidelines?
Well, it's supposed to be 3 years.
Mm-hmm. You think it's really going to take that long? Or?
I think it may take longer.
It may take longer?
Mm-hmm.
So what you're showing us here is on a one-year fiscal.
Sorry.
So instead of 48, it's really 96,000.
That's right. From our perspective, that's right.
Okay. And how much is Wasco County now? The figures of Mr. Montgomery.
That was 37 for 1 year.
For 1 year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they have more area within the geographic boundary of the gorge?
I would say that we are pretty much even. The difference is in how much public land there is. There would
okay.
be less of that in Wasco County. And also you have to look at population and how the land has been carved up and how many separate private ownerships are you talking about.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Watkins.
I think I'll wait.
Okay. We had, you know, public hearing in the presentation from the commission yesterday, and I kept being concerned about some of the answers that we were receiving to questions. It seemed as though at times a top-down style of planning was discussed. One almost got the impression that the commission would do the planning itself, develop a master plan, and then give it to the counties and say, okay, up or down, and it better be up or else. Mm-hmm. That was the impression I got. They would try to modify, but they kind of kept coming back to that hammer. Is that how you... What's the flavor been working with the commission?
Well, it's a real unknown, frankly.
Because it could change.
It could be either way. The bill, in my estimation, has the latitude for it to be just exactly as how you have described it. It could be that way, but it doesn't have to be that way.
It's not how we do things in Oregon today, but now we have a federal intervention.
Well, we want a really close working relationship. We feel we have it right now with the Forest Service, and we really want it with this commission also.
So some kind of financial partnership would help, do you think, to achieve that kind of coordination?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, Senator Hannon.
Mr. Chair, as a follow-up on that question, then what you'd really like to see within the budget is that a certain amount of the money for the commission's budget perhaps be dedicated for contracting with the counties for cooperation so that you feel like you are in fact part of the process.
Yeah, I think that that's feasible.
Thank you.
It makes you feel like you're more a part of it than a bystander to it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, what I was going to ask earlier, I guess I better try and clarify. Maybe I should just leave it alone, but I'm not sure I heard you right, but I thought I heard you say that what you're talking about here, you do anyway because you're so determined to be involved, do a good job, and it's just a question of where the money comes from. Well, that, you see, runs me into a problem because that's the constant problem about, you know, the counties have to fund things primarily from the property tax and local, and we have the income tax here. Local point of view, the best thing to do would be to just raise enough income taxes so we could do away with the property tax. And so when somebody comes and says, we do it anyway, but it would be so much better if you pay for it.
We do it, but we take it from somewhere else.
Right.
That's the key. We still have about 80,000 population urban to take care of. I only have 9 staff, including myself, 2 of whom are clerical, to handle development applications from that urban area as well as doing all the rest of the rural planning for the rest of the state. We're in periodic review this year, so as soon as this thing gets started, we're going to get our periodic review notice right about the same time.
But you see, if we're going to vote to help get some money to you to help do this process,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a lot more meaningful for us to say, we helped this process happen where the local people work together with commission than it is for us to say we helped the local people avoid having to. We would be then saying we funded something else, which is the other thing you won't do unless we help give you some money. And that that is absolutely essential to you, but it's peripheral to the thing that we're here working on this project.
I guess I have to emphasize, though, that my statement that we will probably do it anyway is dependent on my budget getting approved, knowing that there is some funds in there to do additional work related to the Columbia Gorge Scenic Area Act. We may not get it.
Well, that sounds better. Thank you. And if you just work on that a little bit,
especially with our jails,
you'll be seeing it in a way that would be helpful. Senator Hannon.
Mr. Chairman, to alleviate the concerns of my colleague from Multnomah County, in other words, I will support this, resting assured that my income taxpayers in Jackson County are interested in preserving the Columbia Gorge for you.
Senator Hannon. I think if any decision like that does happen,
I just
sure will.
What
you might tell your folks is that you want to make sure that counties are involved and that we have planning that starts at the local level and goes up, and we're making an attempt to do that. I think that's really the principle that we're looking at here. Now, when we were questioning about your money, Multnomah County does, because of economies of scale, have more flexibility than Hood River County, right, Bob? Bob Montgomery is going to say that you couldn't possibly afford to do this, right?
23 years.
You couldn't afford that?
No.
And they probably can. Okay. Any further questions? Thank you very much for responding to our invitation to appear. Well, let's just let's proceed to look at the excess money that's sitting in this budget. Jack?
Fiscal office has recommendations for reductions in seven areas, the largest being to eliminate the information officer from the staff. Gave you a handout yesterday of personnel costs and the details of the governor's proposed budget. The governor's recommended budget includes six FTE positions. I would point out that as of the current biennium, Oregon does not have authority to dictate what positions will or will not be included in the budget. These items are funded in a services and supplies category. Basically, we make a payment to Washington, and with the past commission, or the current commission, I should say, the employees are of the commission are employees of the state of Washington, technically. So reductions in this area would be in the services and supplies category. Having said that, the basis behind eliminating the information officer from the budget is that it's a small staff to begin with six or five FTE positions. It includes a director and then two senior level planners. We feel that the director, given the size of the staff and the level of experience of the planners, could handle any functions that an information officer would be expected to perform. Savings by eliminating this position would amount to $31,528. Related travel costs could be reduced by approximately $2,000 based on estimates in the governor's recommended budget. As was discussed briefly yesterday, the budget as it was proposed includes 58 meeting days per year.
Let's just discuss the information officer for a moment. Did anyone on the committee want to defend that information officer? Mr. Kennedy, do you want an opportunity to defend that information officer?
Mr. Chairman, not so many words to defend the information officer. Dan Kennedy, the executive department. Mr. Kenny was correct in saying that this budget doesn't contain FTE authorization. What I would ask for from this committee is that the commission, which has not yet been appointed, be allowed to pick what personnel it will have and what their jobs would be.
Yeah, we don't have any control over that. We would just lower the budget by this amount of money, make a suggestion.
That's what I was after. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We don't have the budget ready before us in that kind of a detailed way. We're just trying to arrive at some dollar figures on some rationale.
Exactly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So it's unnecessary for me to describe again the nature of flax and
why they're not helpful in coordination. Okay.
The next recommendation.
All right, we would recommend reducing the meeting days to 48 days a year. Again, this is at the discretion of the commission. However, the estimates used in arriving at the governor's recommended budget anticipated 58 meeting days per year for a full six-member commission. In talking with the current director, he anticipated two monthly meetings of 2 days per meeting and added an additional 10 days for contingencies. As I discussed in my recommendation that you have before you, I feel that it's unlikely that all commission members would be able to attend all meetings. And in any case, the commission can begin operating as soon as the initial four members are appointed. I believe that that allows enough flexibility in the budget that the additional 10 days budgeted per year is not necessary. Savings related to this would amount to approximately $8,200. $3,960 of that would be in the personal services category as presented in the governor's recommended budget. Relates to per diem costs for Oregon Commission members and compensation for commission members.
That seems a pretty modest cut. A lot of meetings. Any problems in the committee on that? Mr. Kennedy, any problems? Okay, fine.
Okay.
Then next.
Our third recommendation for reductions in the governor's recommended budget relate to legal costs. The commission has budgeted $120,000 for the biennium for legal costs. Oregon share of this would be $60,000. Difficult to determine the amount of legal costs, as was discussed yesterday. Fiscal office recommends a reduction of $4,000 in this category, just to reduce the flexibility somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Any concerns there, Mr. Kennedy?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, maybe they'd like to come right up at the table. Are you in the process of
cutting their budget?
Yeah. Well, maybe they'd like.
But they know that. They're welcome.
He's visited the table before.
Basically, you look at this.
I have, Mr. Chairman.
The representative of the governor's staff is here. Maybe you'd want her
Ms.
here
Barry?
Also. Much prefer looking at Diane than Mr. Kennedy anyway. If you have to get down to staring him down.
Senator Wire's already commented on my tie this morning. He's
pretty conservative.
What happened to that great one you had on this morning?
It's damn hot in this building. I'm not used to this.
Ms. Perry, did you have any comments on any of the discussion preceding your arrival at the table?
Specifically being
the
public information officer, mm-hmm. et cetera, no. That's fine. We've made our case for that office. So basically, for the record, Diane Perry representing the governor's office, our argument was that this is in order for there to be a county and state partnership with the federal government, that we need to have professional communications capabilities in the commission to work with the Forest Service. But if it's your decision to cut that, that's fine.
Yeah, the reason is that the PR people tend to be one-way communicators. They're usually selling a package.
Well, I understand. And as long as the commission has the flexibility to determine
certainly
what their staffing will be.
And then they might want to look when they hire the executive director for skill, someone to communicate effectively with the public. Okay. We were reducing the AGs. Why don't you just sort of raise your hands or something if you don't like something? Okay.
What good is that going to do?
Well, good. But keeps the form.
Excuse me.
Fourth area that we would recommend.
Trying to follow the spread.
Fourth area where the fiscal office would recommend reductions relates to commission staff travel. The governor's recommended budget anticipated 9,000 miles for mileage expense per professional staff member each year. We've already discussed eliminating the information officer, so I don't make any further reductions in the budget for that position. However, to reduce professional staff mileage to 6,000 miles per year for the three remaining professional staff would save Oregon $1,845.
Okay. Concerns? Okay.
6,000.
Next.
6,000 miles total mileage.
fifth area of recommended reductions is in the area of contracted services. The governor's recommended budget includes $131,000 for contracted services for inventories and studies that are required by the federal legislation. Included in this estimate is $6,000 for inventory design. The federal government prepares similar inventories currently, and they should be able to provide the state some technical assistance in this area. Costs of the required inventories are difficult to determine precisely at this time, so the fiscal office recommends reducing the budget by $6,000 for potential savings that may be achieved in the design and execution of these inventories.
Silence is assent.
All right. I'll move on then. The governor's recommended budget includes $5,760 for airfare for commission members to attend meetings. The rationale for that was that one or two members that the governor may appoint could reside in areas of the state of Oregon that may require air travel to commission meetings. I think the possible, without